Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the International Masterminders Association Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Stephanie Ebanks, and I'm with the Palm Beach Life Planners. We are the mastermind group that will be hosting the show for the next 4 weeks, and we hope you will. We are energized and ready this early Saturday morning to be on the air with all of you. So I invite you to call, text, or email family or member or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. And they can join us via the internet by logging into or onto www.blogtalkradio.com masterminders or by phone 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate while we're on talking, you can also join us in the chat room or you can log on to your Facebook account. Make a comment on our Facebook page. Let us know through your Facebook account and you're listening. Post your questions there as well. We will be monitoring the page while we're on the call. Today we'll continue with a discussion on the bestseller, Think and Grow Rich. We're in Chapter 6, How to Outwit the Sixth Ghost of Fear. Before we get started, I'd like to tell our listeners a little about the International Masterminders Association. And Anne, will you be educating our ghost, our show audience on the International Masterminders Association?
Absolutely, Stephanie. Thank you. This is Anne McNeil, the Master Builder, building stronger and better lives. And as masterminders, we, as a group of like-minded and like-spirited individuals, read and follow the principles espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. And from that book, we have formed the International Mastermind Association. And within the organization, we set goals in 10 different areas of our lives: spiritual, family, financial, health, education, personal development, business or career, recreation, civic, and creativity. We also set goals for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and beyond. And with that, Stephanie, we want to continue to welcome our guests and ask everyone, if you're interested in participating in the show, please press 1 on your phone so we can add you to the conversation that we're having on the radio. And please post and repost, share and reshare with your friends. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Anne McNeil. That was Anne McNeil, a master builder, building mastermind. Before we continue with the show, I just want to introduce each and every one of our Palm Beach Life Planner who are with us this evening or this morning, and even those that are not with us or cannot make it. As I said, my name is Stephanie Ebanks, and I am the vacation specialist. And on the line with us, we have Ms. Sharon Jackson.
Good morning. Good morning, Stephanie. Excited
morning.
To be here.
And we have Laura Greer, the insurance lady. Anything you want to know about insurance, just call her and ask her. And Dr. Betty Knighton, if there's a book in you, she can help you get it out. We also have Doresa Dennis, who is not with us this morning as yet, but we hope she'll have a chance to call in. She has to work at her daycare. If you need daycare services, she'll be happy to assist you in the Broward County area. And Mariama Williams, our economist, who is currently in Geneva and won't be able to join us, but we keep her in our prayers and on the line. Those are the members of the Palm Beach Life Planners, and of course, Anne McNeil, our master builder, building bigger and better lives. We once again want to ask you to please call your families and friends and let them know to call in on our 661-554-9219 line and press 1 on your phone if you'd like to join the conversation. We will be happy to have you in. And once you have finished asking your question, we ask again that you press 1 so that we may know that you're finished asking your questions and we can move forward. Thank you. Now we will start with the chapter of this. Chapter 6, the 6 ghosts of fear and how to outwit them. All right. But before we get started, let's hear from our commercial break before we continue on with the chapter six, the six ghosts of fear, and I'll deal with them.
The International. You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right.
You are listening now, to the Blog Talk Radio program.
And will join us on Chapter 6 of the blog of How to Outwit the Six Ghosts of Fear and the three main parts. Fear that leads us fear and indecision is indecision, doubt, and fear. And those three things are prominent in each and every one of our lives. They lead to all kinds of thoughts of and fear. They are the precursors to the fear of poverty, the fear of criticism, the fear of ill health, the fear of loss of love of someone, the fear of old age, and the fear of death. How do we avoid and outwit them? I don't think we can. I've been reading this chapter and thinking about it. We can't avoid them, but we can, like the book said, outwit them. Our mind is the strongest tool we've got. It's the only thing that we can control around us. So if we can program our minds and focus in, even when we think of things that are fearful, if we can just power through it, go through it anyway. Certain fears are good. They keep us in check. Our society would be lawless if we didn't have fear. Fear controls our population in terms of, not in a bad way, but in a good way, in terms of keeping control of our populace in crime and fear of, you know, our Lord or our Maker, not in a bad way, but in terms of our fear of not wanting to miss that opportunity to be with him in the ever after, you know, controls us in terms of doing bad or doing good. I know certainly when I was growing up, fear of my grandmother punishing me kept me from doing a lot of stupid things, you know, and I'm sure that Sharon or Betty or Laura or Ann can share in that testimony of the fear and what it meant growing up. And how that fear can help us control.
Stephanie, this is Sharon. I think that you just made an excellent point. The one thing that I wanted to add is that the one thing Esther and Andrew Jackson always used to say, you're going to be out on the streets if you don't go to school. You're not going to do this. You're not going to be able to pay your... And there was always fear, fear, fear. And the thing is that they locked us into the only way of making it is to go to school. Now, let me tell you, I believe in going to school, but there are a lot of ways to make it. And so I just wanted to make sure what happened was, as the book suggests in the epilogue on what you said, how to with the six ghosts of fear, it instilled indecision, doubt, and fear. That if I stepped out of line of doing anything the mom and dad said, immediately indecision, immediately doubt, and immediately fear. And those are conjoined triplets. It's just like you said. You can't avoid them, but you overcome them. So I just wanted to add that. So anyone else wants to come in, obviously there are a lot that we could talk about these things.
Yeah, I'm sure there is, Sharon, but let me ask you something. Don't you think that, I mean, I read the book and I know that fear can lead to a lot of indecision, but it can also motivate you. So don't you think that that fear also helped motivate you in terms of making sure that you went to school instead of dropping out, or making sure so that you know that you didn't end up on the street?
I think that with little tiny kids that are laid, that pretty much fear is the only thing that's going to stop them from doing things. But once you start getting to a certain age and you start learning and maturing into logic, then you start motivating. You start decreasing the amount of fear, and you start motivating, you start promoting all of those great instincts and talents that a child has. So, because if you don't start curbing the fear, I've been watching how these kids operate, and you can tell the difference between kids that their parents continue to operate on fear of loss, fear of not making it, fear of not overcoming, and those parents that motivate and say, you have the greatest voice ever. You're a good speaker. I think we need to work on that. You know, you have a great, incredible, logical mind. I think we need to work on that. There's a difference. So, yeah, when they're little tiny kids, maybe that's okay. Don't touch that. You're going to get burned. Don't cross that street. You're going to get hit by a car. But you know what? Once they can look both ways, and once they can make that determination on themselves, that's when you start motivating their talents. I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying at some point you got to switch from the fear and you start, because it is a horrible thing to watch a child that gets overtaken by indecision and doubt.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Definitely, I agree with you on that one. Laura, what do you have any input to this talk we're having on FAIR? This is Ms. Laura Greer, the insurance lady. You have any comment you'd like to make?
Good morning,
Laura.
Yes, hi, good morning. I was just sitting here and was listening, and I was looking at what the author had to say in regards to fear. But one thing about, so since you haven't gotten into the written discussion yet, just subjectively speaking, is that in regards to fear, we know as it does, it's a mindset. And that's the first avenue that we have to do, is look at the person in the mirror and deal with that mindset. And then after looking at that, we take the time to assess that to see what is it that's behind that fear. Like when I was a little girl, when I was growing up, I didn't understand. And the first person I saw lying in a casket, I think I was probably 3 or 4, was my grandmother. And I really loved my grandmother. I just saw her alive like the Sunday before, because every Sunday we would go and visit her. And then to see her lying there without life, I was fear of death. It paralyzed me for a long time, because I didn't understand, and my parents or no one explained to me about that. But then as I became older, you know, moved from the little girl, but I won't even say what age I was when I really began to understand. So that was, fear is very real, and it's deeply embedded, and it has to be dealt with in a real way, and there has to be an open discussion about it, because if we do not, or if one does not have an open discussion and be transparent about their fear and or fears, it can really like paralyze them or immobilize them for a long time.
Yeah, I am in total agreement with you, and it's interesting that, you know, our family, our mothers and our fathers, their intentions were good in trying to instill some fear in us, fear of poverty, fear of this, but the way they went about it also was kind of crippling and self-fulfilling in a way. And at what point do we, as adults, move past those little voices in our head from our mom and our dads and our grandparents or whoever it is, adult life, who instill that fear. And I guess this is what the book is talking about and how we can help. This book is trying to help us move past that. I see Dr. Betty Knighton is on the line. You have some comment? Betty, you'd like to share with us? Dr. Betty Knighton?
Yes.
Yeah, the book.
Good morning. Listen, I understand about when we have fear as a child, it's sort of different, but if we don't come out of that, it can cause a lack of self-confidence in later life. And once we're older, we need to realize that what Zig Ziglar says is true, that fear is false evidence appearing real. One of the basis of fears is indecision. And another one is doubt. And if you look in the book when he talks about that, Napoleon Hill tells us that the combination of indecision and doubt lead to fear. And fear can cripple us and prevent us from moving ahead with our life's plan and our life's goals. So we have to understand the basis of that fear. And as a couple of you have said, it goes back to our childhood. But we have to understand the basis of it and root it out so that it does not prevent us from making plans and being ambitious about our plans. Sometimes when we are doubtful and we're not decisive, we sort of limit our ability to do things. And we know that we all have great potential, but fear can cripple us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Betty. And now we're going to go to one of our commercial break to let you know something more about the organization and about our Blog Talk Radio show.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
All right, now back to the chapter six. The sixth chapter, I'm sorry. I'll draw with the six ghosts of fear, the epilogue. I keep saying chapter six, but it's not. It's the epilogue, and it's how to out with the six ghosts of fear. And as we all mentioned before, you know, a lot of our fears are embedded from childhood, from don't do this by our mom, don't do that, and rightly so. I mean, they were trying to get us to adulthood with some of our fears. But as we grow up, we have to learn to move past those fears or see past them, see what they meant to do was not to cause us indecision and doubt. That was not the aim of our parents. And we have to find a way to move past that. And that is what books like Think and Grow Rich are meant to do. That is why we need to associate with people who are positive, who are going in the direction we want to go, so they can help us, motivate us, show us. We need a roadmap. It's not easy to just say, get over it, you know. Yeah, well, help me, show me, how do I get over it? What kind of things can I do to help program my mind so that I can get over it, so I can move past it? Don't you love it when people say to you, get over it? Sharon, what do you think about that idea? Oh, just get over it. You know, face your fear. Well,
Sometimes when people continue to whine, you do have to tell them, you know, you need to stop and think about that. Everything has to be taken into context. But what I try to do after that is after I tell them to stop and think about what it is that you're doing. And then I start talking to them about, you know, what are you concentrating your mind on? You know, this is how you get over it. It depends upon the person, where they are in their life. You can give them a list of scriptures, and after you give it to them, you have to work with them, motivate them to every time they think about it, bring this scripture up. Every time you think about it, bring up something from a book that they have read. It all depends upon where they are in life, because if they don't change the thought process, you will continue to operate in that rut that Betty was talking about in terms of indecision, doubt, and fear. And that's how we get over. That's how we get over it. You know, you listen to the people that say, you know, whatever you think about, that's who you are. That's what you're going to be. So,
yeah, what you think about, you bring about. You know, we all know that saying very well.
Absolutely.
What you think about, you bring about. And that is part of, I guess, what Sharon is trying to say, part of that mantra that we can use to move past that stage of indecision, doubt, and fear is think about the positive. Think about the direction you want your life to go in. Think about all that you want to accomplish and list them. Make a plan of them and just put that in the forefront of your mind. Kind of hide the doubt and the fear and just step out on faith. Step out on faith. We just want to remind all our callers that are on the line, if you'd like to join our discussion, we'd love to hear your opinion on indecision, doubt, and fear and how you have accomplished and overcome them. So please join our discussion by pressing 1 on your phone and let us know some of the ways that you have used Napoleon Hill's book or any other book, for that matter, to help you reach past that indecision, doubt, and fear. You know, Laura just mentioned earlier about the fear of death and how that fear was instilled in her by seeing her grandmother, whom she loved at a young age, and nobody kind of explained to her what happened to her grandmother in her coffin. And for me, it was the opposite in terms of fear of death. I, as a child, never feared death. Death for me was one big party, and I know that sounds weird, but growing up in Jamaica, when anybody died, it was always a big celebration. So for us as children, when somebody dies, it was like a party. So it's time to get to meet your cousins, that because Jamaica was so spread out, we didn't live close by each other. So it was the opportunity to see all the cousins, your young cousins that you don't get to see normally during the year or whatever. And we'd run around and get to stay up late at night and do all kinds of stuff. So death was never a fear for me, because to me, death was more of a celebration than anything else. So I'm like, I always thought, why do people worry about something that they cannot control? You cannot control dying. Death is the natural part of life. It's going to happen no matter what you do. So it's one, I always thought, you know, I think living is so much harder than dying. So I never had that fear. So, but, you know, there are other fears that can overtake you. A fear of poverty, definitely. I grew up poor. And while I never was hungry or gone without clean clothes, we never had running water. I mean, when I grew up, I had to go literally walk 4 miles to school. I know that. We literally had to go to the canal to get water to bathe in the morning. But so that kind of set me up to think, I don't ever want to be poor. I want to have running water. I want to have a nice house and a nice car and all the perks that goes with that. So, and that fear, like I said, not all fear can be in a negative. Fear can motivate you to succeed as well, as it can fear can stop you from succeeding. So, Laura, what do you remember of your childhood and how that fear has motivated you to move past whatever it is in your life.
Okay, I was on mute. I never had a fear of poverty, even though we were, you know, we were poverty. We were poor. We didn't have many things that other people had, but it was not a fear. Just like you didn't have a fear of death, I didn't have a fear of poverty. And I think that was because of the fact I grew up in a large family. There were 11 of us. There were 9 children, and then my mom and dad. So there was so much love in my family, and we always had food on the table, and we didn't have the luxuries. But what motivated me in regards to the fact of what I did not have is that seeing what my friends did have. Most of them came from a one- or two-sibling household. Their parents were professional. They were teachers or principal of the school, so on, et cetera. So I was around people that had. So by being around people that had these things that we did not have, it motivated me to go to school. It motivated me, one thing, to study hard. And I always remember always being on the honor roll from elementary to throughout high school. And that it just that by not having and seeing those that did have, I knew that there was an opportunity for me to have more. And because my parents were not of the they weren't educated, you know, neither one of them graduated from high school. So that was my motivating factor, and in addition to my siblings, my older siblings. So that motivated me to strive for more so that I would not be, my family wouldn't be in poverty, even though I didn't fear poverty, but I had a desire that I wanted more in life, and I knew that there was more to get by my observations of others that did have these things.
Yeah, like you, I grew up poor, but I did not grow up in poverty. There's a difference between those two terminology. I mean, I wasn't exactly afraid of being poor, but I guess I saw a better side of life like you with your friends and other people who had the house and the cars, and, you know, we didn't have TV and we didn't have a fridge, and, you know, my grandmother cooked on a stove in the house in the open. You know, she had to get up and build a fire every morning and do all kinds of stuff like that. But still, and I, like I said, I never the day in my life that I went to bed hungry, because we didn't have it. If I went to bed hungry, it's because I was either being punished or because I was being willful. But but that was never there. So, we still want more. It's a human nature to want more, to see somebody else around us. But we have to be careful of that too, because sometimes some people get in trouble. They want more, and instead of going about it the legal way, they take shortcuts. And that, you know, shortcut can get us in trouble. And that's also part of our fear of also getting, in fear of the law, can help prevent us from, those of us from going that way and being law-abiding citizens and doing it the legal way by helping, by books like Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, and using that to train our mind, to control our thoughts, to set a plan of action where we can take that road. You know, we need a roadmap. And basically, our thought is the only one we can control, and that thought can help us build a bridge, create a plan, and set a roadmap to lead us where we want to go. So even though when decision and indecision come upon us and doubt and fear, if we keep our thought focus on that road, okay, this is, I've made a plan, I see that road, sometimes we veer off, sometimes accidents happen, but if you get back on that road and keep in mind where you want to go, that's a way of influencing our mind, of going past the fear. Anyway, we're coming up on our next commercial break for the International Masterminders Association, and we'd love it if all of your callers on the line would join our discussion. tell us how you use Napoleon Hill's book. Tell us about your doubt, your fear, your indecision, and how you've overcome them. And if you haven't overcome them, how you want to overcome them. And by pressing 1 on your phone to join our discussion. All right, now to our commercial break.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right, now back to our decision, back to our discussion on the epilogue of how to outwit the six ghosts of fear, indecision, doubt, and fear, the building blocks to the building blocks that we have to overcome, that we have to knock out of our way in order for us to be successful, and success or to attain riches. When we talk about riches, most people think of it in monetary term, but riches is not necessarily about money. It's about a fulfilling life. It's about living the life we want, living the life with purpose, with meaning. And, for you, living your life with purpose and meaning means having lots of money, then that's what it is for you. For some people, it's not. Well, a lot of people don't want money, or they just want to be comfortable if that's what you want. If you want to be able to bless others, then that means, whatever that means for you, then in order to get where you want to go, you have to power through these three major blocks that we all have in our lives. And don't let anybody tell you that they don't have indecision, doubt, and fear. If they do, they're superhuman. Bill Gates, I'm sure Warren Buffett, they all had it. But what got them to where they are today is the fact that they had goals and plans and dream and, most important, desire. Desire is a first step to overcoming indecision, doubt, and fear. You have to want it. You have to sleep with it. You have to eat it, need it so bad that it's the most pervasive thing in your life. So, and that is where they are. Those people that you see, we talk about it, how that person get that, and how that person do that. How did Bill Gates become a multi-billionaire and Warren Buffett? Well, they had something that the rest of us doesn't. They said 95% of us live life of mediocrity, and 5%. And those 5%ers, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and the new guy in Mexico who is now the most wealthiest man in the world, those 5% live lives of excellence because they wanted it badly, more badly than those of us who let indecision, doubt, and fear stand in our way. If anyone would like to join a conversation, we would love to hear from you. Dr. Betty or Sharon or Laura, what would you like to, or Miss Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, anyone like to have a thought on going forward with indecision, doubt, and fear?
Stephanie?
Laura?
Yes. Stephanie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was on mute in and out. I'm looking in the book, and on page 244, the third paragraph, I was just looking at that, and it says, self-analysis may disclose weaknesses which one does not like to acknowledge. It says, this form of examination also demands of life more than mediocrity and poverty. Remember, as you check yourself point by point, that you are both the court and the jury, the persecuting attorney and the attorney for the defense, the plaintiff and the defendant, and it is big bold letters, you who are on trial. Face the facts squarely ask yourself definite questions and demand direct replies. It says, when your examination is over, you will know more about yourself. If you do not feel that you can be an impartial judge in this self-examination, call upon someone who knows you well to serve as judge while you cross-examine yourself. You are after the truth. And I thought about that when someone made the comment that sometimes people say, quote, unquote, just get over it. And I know my good friend Ann, she and I went back, a long time ago, and that's something that she often does with me, and then I, too, with her. And then her husband, he likes to be the cross-examiner with me as well, asking me questions in regards to my ambitions and what I'm doing to accomplish that I want to accomplish. And it's always a self-analysis, self-examination to not criticize, but constructive criticism to help one to see where they are, where they're going, and what their plan is for getting there. And many times, if you say, just get over it or what have you, and then you can sometimes throw the ball back in that person's court that's asking you, say, okay, well, now, have you ever been where I am, and what did you do to get over it, and so on, et cetera. But I thought this was a good point to insert this about that self-analysis in regards to what we're discussing today about the fear, these different fears, mainly this one, the fear of poverty. And we have to always keep ourselves under the microscope. And if we do, we have to be, someone said that we have to be our worst critic. And but then we got to be honest. We got to be fair. Who was Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true. We have to be true with ourselves. If not, what do? We procrastinate and we try to make everything always seem real and seem in a place where it may not be because we don't want to do that self-analysis and put ourselves transparent before others that others might help us see what's inside of us and help us to grow to a place to pull out the best that God has placed in us.
That's true. Dr. Betty, I see you want to make a comment about what Laurie's talking about or anything else that we've been talking about this morning.
Well, actually, I wanted to go back to page 240 in the book because I don't know if we listed those six basic fears that we were talking about. They're named in order of their most common appearance. The fear of poverty is listed as number one, and it said that that's at the heart of most people's worries. Then the fear of criticism, the fear of ill health, the fear of loss of love of someone, the fear of old age, and the fear of death. It's interesting that the fear of death is listed last. Now, when we were talking about the fear of poverty, I don't know anything about living in poverty. We were poor, but I never heard the term poverty when I was a child. Because most of the people in the community were really along the same lines in terms of economic status. But I did know that I did not want to be what most of the women in my community were. They were maids. I decided at an early age that I wanted to do something different. My dad didn't understand that because all the women he knew worked over in Palm Beach or Singer Island or somewhere as maids. So when he told me one day, that Betty, if you don't do a better job of cleaning up and doing your chores, you're not going to be able to find a job as a maid when you grow up. But at that time, I said, Daddy, I don't want to be a maid when I grow up. I plan to sit behind somebody's desk. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He couldn't imagine what I was talking about. But that drove me during high school. During junior college, during college, it drove me because I wanted to be different. My mother had a sixth grade education. My father had a third grade education. At least he said he did. I'm not sure about that. But I knew that I wanted to go further. So that was a driving force in my life. I read everything I could get my hands on. That's why my chores didn't get done most of the time. I would find the book somewhere. They had to hide books around the house to be sure that I would do my chores, but I always had one stashed away somewhere.
So it can be a driving force when you see what's around you and you decide that, no, I want to be different.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. Like you, you know, mentioned before, I grew up poor but not in poverty. There's a difference. And, you know, like I used to say, I used to walk to school and we used to see all these big houses with all these, you know, mansions as we walked along the way. And, you know, you always wanted to know what the other people were living their lives behind those houses. And you wondered, I want to be in one of those houses one of those days. And so I understand that driving force. You know, there's in chapter on page 260, he wrote about old man worry. He said, worry is a state of mind based upon fear. It works slowly but persistently. It is insidious and subtle. Step by step, it digs itself in and paralyzes one's reasoning faculty and destroys self-confidence and initiative. Worry is a form of sustained fear caused by indecision. Therefore, it is a state of mind which can be controlled. A state of mind which can be controlled. And as Laura was mentioning earlier, part of that control is knowing who you are. That self-analysis in the back of the book is great for a great tool for helping you figure out who you are. And it's a part of that roadmap that we are creating to become a better us, a better sister, a better wife, a better business partner, even if you're a maid, a better maid, you know. Whatever it is we want in life, it's strictly about who we are, and who we are is based upon what we know, how we know ourselves. A lot of people don't know themselves. They get up in the morning, they look in the mirror, but they don't really see themselves. They think of themselves, their job defines them. When you ask them who they are, they tell you, I'm a bus driver, I'm a garbage person, I'm a maid, I'm a this, I'm a that. No, who are you? Who are you? What do you want? And how are you going to get there? Who are you? Anyone has a comment on that? Who are you? And how do you get where you want to go? Sharon, Anne? I see Miss Anne has her. Anne would like to join in the conversation. Miss Anne McNeil, the master builder. Go ahead. Anne, are you there?
Of course, I was on mute, unfortunately. But thank you, Stephanie. I just, you know, I know you're asking about who are you, but I'd like to, would like to go to page 237. In the book, and just as an intro, and it's the last part of the page that's entitled Faith Versus Fear, and I listened to Laura talk about the fear of death at an early age, and Sharon and Betty, when Betty was talking about the working as a maid, I was also a maid in high school, and had some of the same thoughts as Betty. But I just wanted to just kind of, as we, the Palm Beach Life Planners, kick off this blog talk session on faith and fear and the ghost of fear, we all know that our favorite book teaches us that faith, you know, destroys fear. And as an intro to that, I just wanted to read the last paragraph of this page 237. And it says, I'll start with the first paragraph. It says, previous chapters have described how to develop faith through auto-suggestion, desire, and the subconscious mind. The final pages of this book will present detailed instructions for the mastery of fear. Here will be found a full description of the six fears which are the cause of all discouragement, timidity, procrastination, indifference, indecision, and the lack of ambition, self-reliance, initiative, and self-control and enthusiasm. This is the part I really want to get to for all of us that are listening to the show. It says, search yourself. And that's what we're doing this morning. Search yourself carefully as you study these six enemies, as they may exist only in your subconscious mind. where their presence will be hard to detect. Remember, too, as you analyze the sixth ghost of fear, that they are nothing but ghosts because they exist only in one's mind. Remember also that ghosts, which are creations of uncontrolled imagination, have caused most of the damage people have done to their own minds. Therefore, ghosts can be dangerous if they live and walk on the earth in physical bodies. And I just wanted to share that as we just kind of kick off, this discussion for the next few weeks as we actually could live in this epilogue for the entire month of April. And I just wanted to share that because as each one of us search our own minds and our own fears and these ghosts, we also want to continue to share with our listening audience, how do we overcome them? And also, you know, during this discussion, the book is giving us some really good examples of what we can do to take action to overcome these fears. Those are just my only comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. And we're going to go to a commercial, and then we're going to have Mr. Rufus Curry on the line with us. Rufus, stay tuned after commercial, please. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
All right. Thank you. And now, Mr. Rufus Curry, you're on the line. Let us know your
hey,
thoughts.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning, Rufus. How are you?
I am magnificent. I am the Rufus Curry, Jr., the only one you'll ever meet. And, you know, it is an honor to be able to join into this conversation with you all on this Saturday morning. Any opportunity to improve ourselves, you know, it's a great thing to actively improve yourself. You know, we're talking about faith and we're talking about who we are, and I was listening in. And, you know, in my book, Raising Champions, Coaching Children and Responsible Adults, I deal with this in Chapter 1. And it says, decide who you want to be and what you want to do for the world that you have been blessed to be born into. And when we talk about who we are, who are you, it says, who is defined as of a person, of what character, origin, position, importance, et cetera. Who does he or she think he or she is? And that's coming out of the dictionary. But when we say who you are, who are you? You know, we all oftentimes we respond, I am, you know, Sharon. I am Rufus. I am Freddie. That's wrong. That's your name. I am a male or female. That's wrong. That's your sexual gender or designation from a biological perspective. We say, I am a mother, a father, a student, a coach. That's wrong also because that's what you do. And we talk about the character of the individual, and when we speak in terms of that and we reach back to what you said about the self-examination and going through the checklist and actually digging in and trying to understand what your focus and your purpose is, most people don't know. Most people, most of the times, if we kind of get it right, it's because we stumble upon it. It's not because we're actively looking for it, you know. Teaching high school and working in the military, you know, my experience is that most people, they don't even want to look at it like that because they try to build who they are based on what they see on TV, you know. And what they don't realize is that, you know, a lot of those folks are in bad shape or they're misplaced also, because there are a lot of things that we can do to be successful, and there are a lot of things that we can do and be successful. But is that what we really want to do? And I use a gross analogy. We talk about people who are into illicit or illegal activity. I'll use the term woman of the night, a prostitute. I mean, she's in a situation where she's having sex for money, but I am sure she would rather be in a situation where she would be engaging in intercourse because she was in love with that man and there was respect or what have you like that. Yes, she is being successful to a degree and she's generating income, but I'm sure she'd rather be somewhere else. And I think that that's most of the people that we work around. You look at the work environment, we look at the attitudes, you look at the conversations at the water cooler, and you're saying, man, I mean, is it? And then you ask them. I ask people on a regular basis, well, hey, what's your plan? What you trying to do? What are you trying to do to change your circumstances or change your zip code or change your GPS reading, trying to move to another location? What's your game plan? I ain't doing that. Ain't no sense in I'm just going to hang it here as long as I can. Hope I don't kill nobody. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Rufus, because a lot of us live in, I guess, what we call mediocrity based on our fear of moving mm-hmm. forward. We don't know where we're going. So, mm-hmm. you know, we take the road less traveled instead of, or take the road most traveled instead of trying to branch off and go on a different route, even though we know that there's something better out there. The explorer
right.
in us is not... is quivering at the thought of going down that road, of
but you know,
stepping out.
You know what's really interesting? You ask most people, you say, well, you got any kids? You say, yeah, I got kids. You say, do you love your kids? You say, I love my kids. My goal is for my children to do it stronger than I did it, earlier than I did it, so that my grandchildren can do it stronger than they're going to do it and earlier than they're going to do it. So I said, you know, I say also in the book that, you know, children see you way, way better than they hear you.
Yeah.
And our behaviors and what we model in front of our children, fear, lack of faith, accepting bad treatment in the whole nine yards, we pass
yeah.
these lessons on to our children.
Yeah.
You know,
they model what they see, not what they hear.
Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? And you say, well, how is it that you look at the reports, the police reports, of domestic violence between boys and girls all the way down into elementary school and middle school? Where are they getting this from? It's
yeah.
because, you know what I mean?
Home.
So
that's what they
you don't want to do it for
around
yourself.
Them.
Do it for your children.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel you. And you know, it's a funny thing. One of the things you were talking about, that just talking about the water cooler, and also talking about jumping to my mind is when people go to the beach and they creep up to the shoreline and they stick their toe in the water. You can tell
mm-hmm.
those adventurers, the one who just they don't even bother to tip their toe in, they just dive right in, you know, and whatever comes up. If it, they will take the thing, but then they are the one that just dip their toe in, and some never enter the water. It's good to be cautious sometimes. Some never enter the water, and some just jump right in, and some will finally immerse their toe and then their bodies, and then, you know, some people run, some people walk, some people crawl, and some people stand still. But it's you know, if for those of us who are standing still, it's time to move forward. You cannot
yeah.
go forward unless you take a step. You cannot go forward unless you take a step.
Well,
and McNeil, you wanted to join our conversation?
Yes,
something to say?
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. I just wanted to make a comment in regards to Rufus talking about the kids, and thank you so much for sharing your book with us, Rufus, because it's an awesome book. But as we continue to talk about how to outwit the six ghosts of fear, and we start with ourselves, we also start with our family, and we go outside of that with our friends. But now that we're talking about outwitting the six ghosts of fear with our children, I think Sharon touched on it earlier, and Laura did too. You know, what are we doing to help our children understand how do you deal with the fear? And what can we do in a proactive way? Because this is the International Mastermind Association. And as we meet and we mastermind and we have discussions with each other about how to overcome different situations, and we participate and help support each other in that, we also do the same in our family. So I just like to encourage
and, you know, that's
to talk about
sorry.
That. For a
sorry to interrupt you, but that's one of the points Rufus was making is kids don't hear you, they see you. And that's the best example of teaching your kids is to show them, is to be what you say you're going to be and do what you say you're going to be do. Because you can sometimes you can talk at kids or talk at them is correct terminology all you want to, but they will grasp the concept a lot faster if they see you do
right.
It.
They live it.
They live
right,
it.
Right, and I. And Stephanie, along the same lines, I guess, what I would like to, on behalf of IMA, go a little step further and suggest, you know, we mastermind with our families. I'm doing a daily blog, and one of the areas that we're discussing right now on the blog is a mastermind group within the family. I mean, all of us are masterminders within IMA, but how
mm-hmm.
many of us have actual mastermind groups inside of our family where a lot of these discussions that we're having on the book, we're actually holding with our family members on a specific day, at a specific time, on a specific subject, because like you said, we are the examples that they see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we can, you know, we can talk about faith, we can talk about fear, and yes, they see it in us, but let's take this conversation to another level. And really began to go there, and there being a place where we are strategically with intention sitting down with the family. It could be two people. Two people can have
right.
become a mastermind group inside that family. I know Rufus does this with his son, and his daughter's now in college, but to actually with intention say, you know what? What's our family mission statement? Let's recite it once a week. What day
mm-hmm.
and time and place are we going to hold our weekly family mastermind meeting? And let's discuss these fears right out of the book. That's what I really enjoy about this radio show, because we are walking through the book page by page, paragraph by paragraph. And I would be remiss if I did not mention the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group, and they've done a wonderful job the months preceding us in walking through page by page, paragraph by paragraph, this book, and just really digesting it and discussing it, because what happens is that we're actually holding a mastermind book, mastermind meeting on this radio show, and we get thousands and thousands of downloads every single month of people who are listening to us all over the world. And so I just want to just continue to just encourage all of us, if you will, and also our listening audience, that it's great to read the book. It's great for us to talk about it. When we get off the radio, you know, what day, what time, what place inside your family are you holding that mastermind mm-hmm. meeting and discussing these fears?
All right, and that is on that note. We're getting ready to wrap up, and we hope you join us next week to continue discussion on the six goals of fear and how to outwit them. You've been listening to the International Masterminders Association weekly Saturday blog talk radio discussion on the best-selling book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Join us next week as we dissect the epilogue and the six goals of fear. We are the Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group, Dr. Betty Knighton, the publisher and author, and if you're booking you can get it out, Laura Greer, the insurance lady, Sharon Jackson, planner and teacher extraordinaire, Doretha Dennis, daycare specialist and teacher, Ann McNeil, the master builder building bigger and better lives, Mariama Williams, economist extraordinaire at large, and myself, Stephanie Ebanks, a vacation specialist. We'll see you on the radio next week. Thank you, and have a blessed and wonderful Saturday here in South Florida or wherever you are located.